Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Larry Gleason, Trevor Harris with you up until 10 o'clock. Thanks so much to Coach Tim Ice Harris from Matter Academy. I could probably talk to him for the whole show. He's a classic. But I'm telling you, like I was just telling Trevor, I mean, he's up the other night like 28-0 or 28-7, and he's riding those referees like he's down by 40. But you know what? Like I said, at the end of the day, it's all about the kids, and that's what he's about. You know, he's always been – I mean, while that while that game's going on, I mean, he's just, you can't talk to him. I mean, most coaches, I could walk down and say something to him. I know my limitations there. But he will be front and center on Saturday watching the FSU-Miami game as his son is the wide receivers coach for FSU, Tim Ice Harris Jr. He'll be entrenched in that game, as will everybody else. As Miami and FSU will renew this yearly rivalry, and this year it's going to be interesting. It was kind of tainted a little bit when FSU lost to Virginia last Friday, but you kind of saw that coming. You knew Virginia is going to be tough. Those Friday night games are really, really, really tough to kind of predict. From the Miami side of things, from the Miami Herald, Jordan McPherson covers the Hurricanes. Obviously he has a pretty keen insight on what's going to go on as Miami had the week off, to prepare for this game. And he's kind enough to join us. Jordan, thanks so much for taking the time. I know that you've been doing your homework and you've been breaking this game down and you're ready to give me every single possibility, and maybe I'm wrong. No. Hey, thanks a lot for joining us, Jordan, on this beautiful Wednesday evening. Big game, obviously, but nothing that Miami hasn't played over the first couple of weeks of the season with Notre Dame and Florida. They're on the road. That's the one difference. But competition level, they've kind of faced some pretty good teams so far.
Yeah, no doubt, Larry. I mean, like you said, Notre Dame, Florida, USF was a ranked opponent when they faced them in week three. They've gone through a gauntlet in their non-conference slate, and they're 4-0. You've seen a little bit of everything from this team. The defense has certainly stepped up. Carson Beck is impressed. The run game has been absolutely phenomenal through four games, and they're going to need every last bit of it when they go up to Tallahassee on Saturday.
Yeah, but you know what, though, and you've been around this thing for a while. I mean, if both teams were 0-4, it really wouldn't matter because this is one of those games. And I know it sounds cliche-ish, but you've been part of the FSU-Florida rivalry, so you know. I mean, it's not always the team that has the most talent that wins a game like this. It's a team that gets the least amount of turnovers or break, you know, that has the better breaks. What do you look for in a game like this? Because you know that Miami's strength, especially on offense, is their experience at quarterback, their run game, and an offensive line that truly has held up very well over the first 4 weeks.
Yeah, no, I mean, you hit the nail on the head there. I mean, Miami's on the offense, it's just keeping that balance and just taking what the game dictates. I mean, we saw in the Florida game, Carson Beck was struggling. He was far from his best, far from what we saw the first 3 weeks. So what does Miami do in the second half? They just hand the ball to Mark Fletcher, hand the ball to Mark Fletcher, give Marty Brown the handoff, hand it back to Mark Fletcher, just ground and pound and wear Florida's defense down and just eat up the clock. That's what the game dictated. That's what they did. They didn't try to force it forced Carson Beck to make the key plays. They took what the defense was giving them, and they made sure to execute as clean as possible. On defense, they just got to keep Tommy Castellanos contained. If they can limit him again, they face dual threat quarterbacks against Byron Brown, against USF, against DJ Lightway, against Florida. Castellanos is going to be another big test for the defensive line to set the edge, limit those run lanes, and try to do what they can to limit a quarterback who can do it with both his arms and his legs. And FSU is one of the best, if not the best, offense in the country through the first month of the season. So everyone on that defense is going to have to be locked in. And like you said, with this rivalry, it's just you always expect it to come down to the last drive, the last possession, potentially the last play. I think it's like eight or nine of the last 12 or 13 games have been one-score games. So regardless of the score, regardless of the record, regardless of the rankings, it's just FSU-Miami. The game almost always lives up to the hype, and just the way these two teams are going Saturday feels like it should be the same.
Yeah, and I think at halftime I mentioned to you at the Florida game, I thought that Florida would be the best defense Miami faced. Now, people don't realize, I mean, until you're out there and watching, but Florida's got cats, man. I mean, they got kids who fly to the ball. They've got really good defensive backs. They've got good – they didn't have linebacker play that night, obviously. They were down Banks and maybe a player or so, but up front, you know, with Sapp, and they kind of controlled things. Things that were working against USF or things that were working against Bethune-Cookman, not so much in a game like that, because Florida's defense, as we said, they recruited a high level. Remember, they're in the SEC. They've got to recruit at a high level. They showed that. Obviously, we know their offense kind of didn't, you know, come through and execute as well as they should, but Miami's offense going against Florida State's defense, I think they've kind of faced a better defense than Florida State's already. And then having somebody like a Beck, and then, as you mentioned, having a running back, and especially if you're going to use Brown and Fletcher, you know, to wear you down. Because sooner or later, as we saw against Florida, it was taking its toll in the fourth quarter, you know, with those guys battering the linebackers and the safeties, because it was getting a little bit old, that Miami's offensive line, you know, having a guy like Markel Bell, you know, who's large, and having somebody like Mauanoa and McCoy, and then having somebody like Inez Cooper, who did a lot of talking in the game. I saw that. But having guys like that, I think Miami, from an offensive standpoint against Florida State's defense, I think they're ready for that task, because I think they know, and especially with a quarterback like, you know, Carson Beck, who you know as well as I do, Jordan, he's seen all this stuff. He's been in the SEC. He's played in big games. So he knows not to play outside of what he's capable of. Talk about that.
Yeah, no doubt about it. That was one of my main things when Carson Beck came in, when he transferred in, was, is he going to try to do too much? Is he, after the injury that ended his season last year in the SEC championship game with Georgia, when he decided to back out of the draft and transfer him for one more year, when he came to Miami and has to fill the shoes of Cam Ward, which, let's face it, nobody's going to fill the shoes of Cam Ward with what he did in that one season with Miami. My main question was, is he going to try to be the hero more than he has to be? And he hasn't tried to do that. He's making the plays that he's supposed to be making. He is handling his business, and he's not trying to do too much. The Notre Dame game, he executed what he needed to do flawlessly. Bethune-Cookman's Bethune-Cookman. USF, he did what he needed to do. Florida, again, realized things aren't going well. He had no problem at all with them going basically completely to a run game in the second half. He understands what he needs to do for the team to be successful. He knows that a run game with that stout and veteran offensive line can win them games if he's not at 100%, if his mechanics are off, if his touch is off. He knows that he's going to have to make some plays, yes, but he doesn't have to be the guy, the hero every night like Cam Ward had to do so many times last season. He has enough guys around him where he's trusting in them to do as much as possible when things aren't going well for him. He seems to be finding that balance, and having the bye week to look over that Florida film, to be able to look over the first month as a whole, I feel like it's going to be advantageous for him as he gets into his first road game with Miami and first time out of Duke.
Yeah, I agree with you. Jordan McPherson, Miami Herald. And here's the thing, too. First road game. And that has, there's a lot of intangibles there, and you know that. I mean, this is, we don't know how they're going to act. They didn't have a road game yet. You know, Florida State's been on the road. They've been at home. So we know what they can do. If it comes down to a kicking game, I think by now, I think everybody kind of understands that Carter Davis, believe it or not, I had no idea that Carter Davis was going to come through the way he has. You know, after the Borregales regimes, he and his brother, you figure, oh, my gosh, there's going to be such a drop-off. I think if it comes down to Carter Davis, I think he's got that ice water a little bit in his veins. But we don't know. We don't know what Doak Campbell Stadium is going to bring on a Saturday night, and it's going to be crazy. Do you think if it comes down to a field goal that Carter Davis can come through?
I think so. I feel like just seeing how he responded, that Notre Dame game specifically, again, that was his first game with Miami, having to come down to kicking a game-winning field goal with a minute and a half left. Yes, he's at home, but it's a massive moment for the kid, especially since, like you said, I was in the same boat as you. I wasn't sure where the kicking game was going to stand between right. Carter Davis coming in, Burt Auburn coming in as well, Mario Cristobal saying that the battle for the starting kicker basically came down to the wire, and for Carter Davis, who, let's call it like this, his career at FAU wasn't spectacular. They no. left a lot of questions coming in. And for him to be as clutch as he was in that Notre Dame game and then to kick a couple pretty big field goals in the Florida game when the offense stalled, he has shown yeah. so far that he's up to the task. But again, like you said, a road environment where things could get dicey, it'll be interesting to see, but he's impressed me to this point.
No doubt. Jordan, let everybody know how they can follow you, social media, also your website as well. I know you're going to have a lot of good stuff pre and post.
Yeah, so all my writing is on the Miami Herald website, miamiherald.com/sports, and social media, Twitter, X, whatever we're calling it nowadays, and Instagram are both J_McPherson1126.
Good stuff. Hey, I can't thank you enough, man. We'll talk soon.
Yeah, thanks so much, Larry.
Good stuff. Jordan McPherson from the Miami Herald. Good dude. Hard worker. Knows his stuff. Gator fan. I know I could see him in that Miami-Florida game. You know, it was kind of like his stomach was going each way. What do you do? But certainly professional all the way. You know, and he calls it like you see it. That trip, I mean, Miami's first trip is going to be tough.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. PNC's apply, in app only.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. you're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of Browns.
You know why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.